Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live out at St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp. Getting underway this morning, day number two of practice and pads coming up for the Tennessee Titans. Joe, Paul Kuharski, just with us, has taken a nice photo of Jeffrey Simmons and Buck Rising together. So at least we know that Buck is not getting pummeled as we speak.
There we go.
They're talking it out over there.
They're talking it out. Yeah, I see him. And there's someone. Who is that standing right by them? Is that Puff? Is that Jared Puff? I think it's Puff. I could be wrong, but there's someone standing right there ready, at the ready, in case Buck decides to just launch off. And, you know, Buck is.
Buck and Jeffrey Simmons talking it out as we speak.
Oh,
good for them.
What a circus. This is just fantastic. This is just great.
Get people yelling at each other across radio stations this morning, and now Buck and Jeffrey Simmons are hashing it out over there on the sideline, baby.
You know, there's some things that PK brought up that we weren't able to get to. One thing that I thought it was interesting, I wanted to get into a little bit. You know, his point about Rand Carthon and being, you know, like maybe too friendly with the players, things like that. Like there should be more of a divide or whatever like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I agree with that. Now I agree with it if it does make it so that you. You have a hard time because if you're a GM in this business, you cut these guys all the time. I mean, you can have good relationships with them, and like other GMs, John Robinson got along fine with guys, and then it's like, okay,
hey,
wish the best for you, and you know, hand in your playbook. Happens all the time. I mean, tell me the difference between, like, for example, coaches, right? Like, coaches are different now. We've talked about that, right? Like, it's. I mean, even Vrabel got after people, but Vrabel would let guys go if they needed to go do stuff. I think he was a player's coach. Callahan, I think it's more like we're collaborating. I hate to use that word, but it is more like that in coaching nowadays, right? It's more like we're collaborating. It's okay for you to ask it. We've talked about Andrew Burnett, like guys asking me why we do something. Like, I never asked why when I was a player. So why? I guess my question is, why wouldn't it go that way with management too?
Yeah.
You know, to some extent. I mean, there's still obviously like if it's something that would stop him from saying what he needs to say, but I've been told that he actually did say some stuff that needed to be said to him yesterday. So, I mean, if it's a problem there, okay, then I understand. But I don't agree that, like, it's a problem on its own.
Well, I would agree with that. Like, it's a different style, but, like, Barry Trotz is the same way. Like, Barry Trotz has really good relationships with his players. He's a former coach. I mean, I was at development camp 3 weeks ago, and Barry Trotz was walking back in the locker room, arm around Andrew Gibson, talking about stuff was going on out there. Like,
right.
You know, it's different. It's development camp. But he does that with his players all the time. And we know Barry Trotz is not afraid to make the hard move, not afraid to be. I mean, I think as long as you're honest with the player and they know where you're coming from, then your approach can vary. But I think it's fine to be friendly with guys. Like, I just think it's
a stuffy suit who just sits in your office and, you know.
Some people can't do that. Like, some people do have to, like, detach themselves a little bit, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the other approach.
No, and with Trotz, he comes from the coaching, you know, for him, obviously, it's different because he was just coaching these guys, right? And so now you're transitioning to management, but it's the same kind of way he talks to people, right? Why wouldn't you? That's who he is. I mean, he's going to be exactly who he is. So if that's who Rand Carthon is, first of all, and I do think I think players like that, you know? I mean, I think there's benefits to that. I think when you're recruiting free agents, sometimes that can help you in that way. So, by the way, all the yelling in the background, that was not Buck and Jeff screaming at each other.
It was not.
Just in case anybody's listening.
They're still talking.
Yeah, still talking. Meanwhile, special teams coach talking up at the podium.
We can confirm Jeffrey Simmons and Buck Rising have not come to blows yet over there, so that's good to know.
Puffa, whoever is standing there, continues to stand arms crossed at the ready, just ready to, you know, ready to jump in, I guess, moderating the discussion.
I'm glad they're hashing things out over there. Again, Denard Wilson scheduled to speak here shortly. We'll carry that for you live. I think Nick Holes is up there right now, so we'll get Denard Wilson his thoughts on what's going on the defensive side of the ball. I'm sure the Jeffrey Simmons stuff will come up. I'm sure Arden Key will come up. So
And that's the other thing, you know, as PK brought up, any other day, the Arden Key stuff would be certainly the news of the day. I mean, you're talking about a six-game suspension for PEDs at a position where they were already razor thin, and now you've lost Arden Key, who I guess was going to be your starter. I don't know that he's even really a starting-level player, but now you throw in something else along with it. I think you're going to have to probably go try to sign somebody if you're Rand Carthon and add to it that way. But with all the Simmons stuff that went on yesterday, Arden Key kind of got swept under the rug a little bit.
He did, and it's a big deal, and it's a problem. Interesting point there by PK with the idea that maybe the Shane Ray signing could have been them knowing this was coming. If that's the case, I don't know. I feel like they still should, even if this never happened, I think that going out and trying to get another veteran who has been productive would be worthwhile. And yeah. So, like, Carl Lawson, pretty good player. I'm assuming he's another one of those guys who right now his price tag just simply is just too high for anybody out there.
Yeah.
But also he knows these things are going to happen. You're going to have injuries, as you've had in Detroit. You got a suspension here coming, so there's a team in more desperate situation. So he knows that at some point someone's going to probably meet him where he wants to be, and I think the Titans should probably consider that.
Well, we brought up the teams they're playing the first 6 weeks. So, I mean, think about some of the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. I mean, it's – even the first game, like, I have no idea what Caleb Williams is going to be, but they need their full-strength defense out there. And I said earlier, I think this puts more on Sweat, right? There's already a lot on him. And now that you don't have Key, not that Key is some game wrecker out there, but I think when you lose more depth at a position that you're already thin at, it adds more to the interior. There's more on Jeffrey Simmons. There's more on Tavondre Sweat. And certainly Harold Landry. Like, you can run through the whole team, Joe, and there are guys that you can say they absolutely cannot afford for so-and-so to get hurt. Obviously, Will Levis would be at the top of that list when you're talking about quarterback. Not that far down the list behind that has got to be Harold Landry. Oh, like, if Landry goes down, what in the world are they going to do at edge rusher?
Well, it'll look like 2020 when it was just like I don't even remember some of the names of some of the guys who were out on that field once Clowney was out. You know, it was just like pick a guy off the street. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, they've had actually kind of incredible success over the years at that with corners, right? Like, they've had to do that. But, no, Landry is one of the most indispensable guys on the team. So is Jeff Simmons, by the way.
Yep. I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. 615-737-1025. Denard Wilson should be up right after Nick Holtz, offensive coordinator. So we'll have Denard Wilson, Titans defensive coordinator, for you coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live out at Titans training camp. Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson, scheduled to speak shortly. Nick Holtz, Titans offensive coordinator, currently holding court with the media. Nick Kieser, back at our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, I'm interested to see what Denard Wilson has to say today. I mean, according to the schedule, doesn't sound like Brian Callahan's going to talk today. Right. Jeffrey Simmons, I don't think, is scheduled to talk today either. So, what – I mean, I would have liked to have seen one of them address the media today, given what happened yesterday, but it doesn't look like we're going to see that. But going to be a pretty fascinating conversation with Denard Wilson coming up, I would guess.
Yeah. Is this mic on? There we go. You turn my mic off. That is not a mute on me.
We're going to blame you.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I thought there was a chance that maybe Callahan was saying, but I honestly think it's more important that Jeff just take questions after the practice and just, you know, are he and Buck still talking about it? They good? Yeah, everybody good?
I think everybody's good.
Everybody's good. Everybody's okay. They've had their conversation.
I think they've had it.
Yeah, I think he needs to address it. Again, you're talking about team leader. He's a grown man. He's a professional, and
By the way, he's going to have to at some point. Like, not just going to go away until.
And so, like, if I'm Titans PR. I'm not a happy day yesterday. There's a PR nightmare. All this stuff, you know, because everybody's talking about stuff like this instead of, you know, the football team that they're trying to promote. But if I'm them, I want this handled now. And people have said on the text line, you know, 2 weeks from now, no one will care. And I agree. I just move forward.
Yeah.
You know, these things happen, and then, you know, now, you know, this is one of those things that gets brought up like if Jeff, whatever, struggles this year, the Titans are losing, then stuff like this comes back up, right? Like how much of this was a factor or whatever. But, yes, get in front, you know, get out there, handle it, deal with it, move on. That's the best thing. Rather than let's just pretend like PK thinks they're going to do. Let's just pretend like nothing happened. And that's, to me, the wrong approach.
Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson looks like he's about to hop on the podium here shortly. So we'll get that to you as quickly as we can. I mean, I guess at the moment he's going to be the one talking about this today. So, I mean, we knew he was going to talk at some point today, and we knew that this was going to come up. But I would have liked to have seen certainly Jeffrey Simmons and even Brian Callahan. Like, Callahan, I think, is you're the head coach. You're the CEO of the team, and you have something like this happen yesterday. Like, I think you need to get up there and talk about it.
He could have made a case for him to talk today for sure. They're doing this thing where he doesn't talk some days, and those are the days all the players are available, which is obviously a change from the way it used to be.
Yep. Looks like Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson is ready to go at the podium. All right, let's go. Let's hear from Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson.
A radio guy. I'm just wondering where you think his mindset is if something's going on with him.
Look, we don't condone fighting out here. We want to practice the right way. We talk about live on the edge, play on the edge, don't hurt the team. But we have a thing around here, especially on defense. All right, when you mess up something, okay, you address the problem, you make it right, and you move on. And that's what we want to do. In terms of the off-the-field stuff, I have nothing to do with that, and I'm not going to comment on that.
How do you balance between setting the tone, the aggressive mindset that you want, and kind of towing that line?
Well, right now, another thing we talk about, living on the edge, you play on the edge, but you don't hurt the team. And we want to play aggressive. We want to be play knockback. We want to play on the edge. But when it comes to hurting the team, it hurts the team, okay? And we don't want that. So we got to dial it back when we play on the edge. And then also with the teammates and everybody else, when somebody's on that edge, somebody else has to pull them back. And, that's our philosophy and that's how we go about things.
Situation, do you anticipate that you have enough an outside linebacker to kind of weather that storm?
We got the right people in this building, all right, and we'll address that when the time come and see how that plays out.
Maybe who are some guys who are taking advantage of extra reps here early in camp?
Well, I think all of them are. Right now we're rotating guys in and out. They're playing, they're getting opportunities. They did an excellent job yesterday in press coverage and our one-on-one period. The thing with those guys is it's not if it's one day doing it well, can we do it today the same way? Can we be consistent enough to do it every day? And if we do that, the guys keep getting better, and then the guys that show up the most are the guys that's going to push the depth chart.
Brian Callahan, he had mentioned Kenneth Murray and just how he's, making it difficult for them. How is he fulfilling just the vision you have for him when you guys brought him?
I love everything about Kenneth Murray. The biggest thing, in the spring, remember you guys just kept asking about the green dot? In reality, man, we told Frank Bush, myself, and the defensive coaching staff, the thing we want is him to have the green light, okay? And what that means with the green light is to cut it loose, to play with no fear, to play with no fear of making mistakes, and just seeing what he sees, believe it, and go. And then if he makes a mistake, as coaches, we can correct him to slow him down. But we want him to cut it loose, and that's what he's been doing. He's all over the field. You see it, he's sideline to sideline with the pads on. He's so heavy on contact. But the biggest thing that I love about what Kenneth's doing is Kenneth is starting to take control of the huddle. He's starting to become a leader. People starting to listen to him, and guys rally around him. So as he keeps growing in his leadership role with all the other guys that we have, we become stronger as a defense.
You're right, because you see him pre-snap, he's kind of like that traffic cop. What is it in your experience with players that triggers that to, be on their?
Well, the first thing, you have to empower him. And that's one of the things that we wanted to do here is empower him to take that leadership role. Don't be afraid of it. And, with leadership, it takes time. It takes practice. You have to be intentional in what you're doing. And he's being intentional in that role. And when we signed him, that was one of the biggest things that we said. We said, we want you to be a guy that when you stand in the middle of the field, everyone listens to you. And he's taking that, and he's getting better at it every day.
What do you see from Jack Gibbons that has kind of shown you that he's taken a step forward and to hang on to his job?
Well, you see Jack every day. I mean, he's making plays. He's another one. Like, he's believing what he's seeing. And when he sees it, he's coming downhill with violence. He's making plays in the backfield. We already know that he's a high-volume tackler because he's going to run. He's going to be sideline to sideline. But also in terms of the communication and then thoroughly understanding what he's supposed to do in zone coverage, how it all works hand in hand. I think Jack is doing an excellent job. I think all the linebackers really are doing an excellent job, and they all coming along. I think our coaches do a great job getting them ahead of things, and I'm proud of where Jack is right now, too.
Rashawn Weaver in your time so far, and maybe what's he got to do to sort of take advantage of potential upcoming opportunities?
Weaver just needs to keep getting better every day, right? You see his physicality at the line of scrimmage. You know, when he plays the end position, he can set force. He's violent. You see him, he's running to the ball. We can reduce him inside, and he can play with vertical knockback. I like where he is, too. All it is with all of them, is about just confidence, right? The more you play, the better you play, you gain confidence. And then as coaches, when they play good, you highlight it. And you keep highlighting it, you know, so they can play with more confidence. They feel good about themselves. And I think Weave's in a good spot right now, mentally and physically.
Improvement from Sweat during the course of the first week, and maybe what's your message to him as he kind of starts out here?
Yeah, Sweat has done an excellent job in everything he does, really. He's a very smart player, and when you give him something, he can execute his assignment. But you watch him over the center, and you watch him push the pocket. You watch him get off the ball. When he puts his hands on guys, he can get rid of them. He can shed. The biggest thing now with him is what we talk about is just being in the greatest shape that he can be in. And what we're harping on is him finishing plays. So coming out the stack when the ball goes, no matter if the ball was stopped, we're going to let the runners after first contact go. Now, we want to see you come out the stack and go get it. And if the ball goes to the sideline, chase it down. But what is that also doing? It's building up endurance, right? It's building up physical conditioning, you know, so he can play longer, he can play harder, all right, and ultimately finish plays and finish games.
You expected from Shane Ray, how much time it's been away from him since he last played?
Yeah, well, Shane right now, obviously, just getting here, he's catching up on the defense, trying to learn everything. Obviously, when you haven't been in it and you don't have repetition at something, you're not going to be as fast. You're not going to be as sharp as you should be. But he's been diligent about learning the defense. He's asking all the right questions. Ben Bloom does a hell of a job with those outside linebackers, getting them prepared. And longer he's around here in this defense, he'll get better.
What's your challenge to Darius relative to consistency when he's on one day and off the next day?
I think, you know, he's a pro. Like, one thing you guys don't have the ability to see, when we do walkthrough periods, Legarius treats it like a game. Like, his intensity in walkthrough periods, you know, is unbelievable. He, to me, it's the way he moves. You know, I consider it, when you're in those walkthrough periods, you're getting mental sweat, mental focus. And he attacks those walkthroughs like it's a game. So he's never taking days off. Really, it might not be getting the physical reps out here. And then you got, if you sit and watch him throughout when he's sitting out here, if he has an off day, if you watch him, he's real intentional about what he's looking at, what he's seeing. He's asking the right questions, whether it's to me or Chris Harris or Steve Jackson, who's doing an excellent job. All of them are doing excellent jobs of teaching these guys. I love what Legarius is. And when he comes out here, you can see him. He just competes every play, and he loves football. So I think he's in a good spot, and I think that the formula we have for him is the best formula for him.
He's not always practicing, and Cheeto missing some time. Mm-hmm. Opportunity here to kind of develop some of your depth in the secondary. How is a guy like Jarvis Brown done at taking advantage of that opportunity?
Jarvis, once again, he's getting better, too. He's a young guy, right? And you don't know what you don't know. Like, he hasn't played a lot of football, obviously not in the National Football League. So every day is something new. When the offense installs something, as we go through this install period, we get different things. So he's learning on the run. The thing I like about Jarvis is he doesn't make the same mistake. He attacks the day. like with that dog attitude. He's physical. He could play multiple positions. Now it's about him just sharpening his tool bag and giving him the tools to get better every day.
Reunited with Jamal, and how hungry do you think he is coming here trying to prove himself once again?
Well, it's good to reunite with him. You know, y'all have heard me say this before. In terms of players, you're there to teach, motivate, and inspire. And even when the players leave, that doesn't stop. Jamal has been away from me for years, but we've always been in contact. Whenever there's been crossover film and, you know, I'm seeing him on tape, if it was things I didn't like that he was doing, I would call him. I would text him and say, hey, man, you need to get to this. The thing about Jamal is this. He is hungry, and he found a landing spot where he knows how he's going to get coaches by the guys that he's been around. But Jamal knows he needs to go back to the basics. And, you know, I always say this, you got to go back home. And what is home? It's when you're a young man, when you're in high school, and now you're working and you're doing your daily calisthenics, and you're doing all the little things correct to get yourself to the point that you get a scholarship, to get yourself to the point where you get to the National Football League. So with him right now, we're focusing on all the little things. You know, I think that Jamal, as he went on, became a home run puncher. You know, he was swinging big. And right now it's time to get him back to the fundamentals, that every day he's throwing a jab, he's leading behind the jab, he's cutting off the ring, and he's going to the body and breaking people down. And when he does that, all the little things are coming, then the home runs will start to show up. Thank you.
All right, that was Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson. We will react to what he had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More on that coming up next. Nashville's best deal of the week, admission to the Frist Art Museum. Enjoy ever-changing exhibitions from world-renowned collections. Get creative in Martin ArtQuest, the first hands-on art-making space, and find unique handcrafted items in their gift shop. Current exhibitions include fashion, photography, graphic art, ceramics, VR, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get two tickets from the Frist Art Museum for the price of one. While supplies last, as a $15 savings. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see the Professional Fighters League playoffs at Nashville Municipal Auditorium coming up this Friday. We call the 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to the Professional Fighters League playoffs at Nashville Municipal Auditorium this Friday. We are live out of Titans training camp. Denard Wilson just addressing the media. Titans beginning, getting things going here on the field for day number 2 in pads. Joe, Denard Wilson did not have a lot of interest in talking about the Jeffrey Simmons incident yesterday. Did talk about the stuff that happened on the field in terms of the fighting and learning from mistakes and making sure you don't repeat those mistakes, but did not have much to say about Jeffrey Simmons off the field yesterday.
Yeah, not surprised. Although, you know, really, I will say, like, Kaharski's question was not – let's talk about the thing with Buck. He asked him the right question to me, which was, are you concerned about an issue? You know,
yep.
What's going on with him question? That's the bigger picture, right? And he still wouldn't touch it because I thought the question was framed correctly. I think he was just not going to touch it, and no matter what angle you came at on it. So, we got a practice coming up. We got stretching going on, and then – you know, we'll see if, and of course, Jeff and Buck have talked, so
yep.
That's good. And then we'll see if there's any availability with 98 coming out here after the practice. If not, there are a lot of fans I'm seeing here with 98 jerseys. So, you know, in lieu of Jeff, we can interview one of them.
Yeah, we can find out what's going on there. By the way, not stretching going on, dynamic warm-up.
Oh,
dynamic warm-up.
Is that what it's called? It's actually officially dynamic warm-up?
That's what I'm calling it.
Doesn't it just look like they're stretching right now?
I mean, it looks like they're stretching right now, but it's a dynamic warm-up.
All right, I will watch carefully, though, to see how dynamic it gets.
Yeah, not surprising on the Denard Wilson front there that didn't have much to say. The Arden Key absence was brought up, obviously, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out as a group. They was asked about Shane Ray and the impression that he's made in camp to this point. So, obviously, that's a big-time hole for the Titans heading into all this. And Joe kind of swept under the rug of all of this is it feels like to me the offense kind of struggling so far in camp, especially yeah. The last few days. Now, Levis has been off target a little bit at right side of the offensive line, not going so hot for them at the moment. So, like right now, like it, beyond the Jeffrey Simmons stuff and the Arden Key stuff, it would be great to see the offense have a day out here at some point.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. All the controversy is on the defensive side of the ball, but they're winning when it comes to the offense against the defense, and I think it's largely up front, right? And,
yeah.
And it seems like, you know, John Ojukwu has sort of had this opportunity and more of an opportunity than even the Titans anticipate. I mean, it's clear. They thought Nicholas Petit-Frere would be out there by now. Now they're hoping it'll be Friday. But, in the meantime, he's kind of maybe playing himself out of the opportunity. I don't know if it's quite that bad, but, like, there is a void there. And there is just a lot of eggs in the NPF basket at right tackle. Barring, you know, some other possible adjustment, there's always the possibility of a signing there, too. They have a lot of guys. They've signed Jerron Christian not too long ago. And, of course, there is, you know, there's the Dylan Radins possibility that maybe, you know, at guard, if they felt okay with, like, Sadiq Charles and Brunskill, that maybe they would give Radins a look. But, again, like, that, the offseason plan for him was not to do that. The plan was for him to think of, in terms of being an interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, and Will Levis, I mean, a lot was made Saturday of his struggles with the practice in front of the fans. Now, Brian Callahan did point out on Saturday that a lot of that came on third down. So, you know, there's different situations on third down that you're trying to figure out. But was off target a little bit yesterday as well. It's training camp. It's practice. So I'm not going to sit here and freak out about it. But any reason to be concerned about Will Levis the last few days out here?
I'm kind of no reason to be overly concerned and no reason to be overly excited, you know, at this point. Every day matters. So it seems like, you know, overall it's still been good. I know the Saturday one, apparently, you know, the ball slipped out of his hand on one that would have been a big play.
Yeah.
Seems like decision-wise it hasn't been an issue, you know. You got Matthew Jackson out here picking him off, though, so
yeah.
Maybe it's more on him. Maybe it's more about Matthew Jackson. Have you considered that?
Have we considered that the Titans defense could be a dominant force this year? I mean, sometimes we think that coming out of training camp practice.
That is true.
And sometimes it may or may not work out that way.
Yeah, came up a little short last year being a dominant defense. That's the thing. It's like I think part of this new start, this new era – right, finally, like, it's we've talked about this, Robbie. Being bad, losing, that stinks, but losing and boring is it's such a worse thing. And so the idea of, okay, this is going to be a fun offense now, fun to watch. They'll be entertaining at least. And, look, man, it's just always true in football. I mean, if you can't block and create pockets for your quarterback, then it's just, I don't care what your scheme is. And your skill players have to be incredibly good to overcome that. So it's, you know, it's just right now where they are is they are not able to block this defense. And again, one day of pads, but there are pass protection reps and pass rush reps that went on before pads, and it does look kind of like it has looked the last couple of years.
By the way, we have several people on the text line that were very upset that we didn't have a rant today at 7:45.
Wow.
I would encourage
you. I didn't know you guys love the rant so much.
If you're upset about the lack of rant, I would just encourage you to go back and listen to
7:15.
The second segment of Paul Garst.
Yeah, 7:15.
Settle in for about the first 5 or 6 minutes of that one, and I think you'll be satisfied.
Yeah, we're not lacking for ranting. Okay, like this entire program did not lack for ranting. They were ranting on it, ranting about it, ranting from others nearby. There's all kinds of ranting. Whenever Kaharski's around, you're typically not going to be lacking in that category. Today, man, I think we did plenty.
Somebody asking the question, what are the odds we see Jeff running sprints today? I don't think very high.
No.
I doubt they're going to have him running gassers out there, would be my guess. Another texter says,
That's not the way to handle something like that.
No. I got another text that says it's far past time for Jeff to understand this isn't college/SEC fanboy media. It's not the beat writer's job to be fans like they are at Mississippi State and every other SEC school. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line.
I'd say that's probably a fair point to make. You know, but the interesting thing about that when you talk about fanboy media, well, Jared just walked by. The thing is, you can have angry fanboy media too. I think the most – I think the most angry and personal stuff that come from media also come from fans.
Yeah.
So, Jared, it would be Exhibit A.
I would agree.
I mean, Jeff is, you know, obviously, you know, he overreacted and all this stuff. Like, I think most people would agree it was an overreaction. And he's got, you know, he's too much on social media, all that stuff. He doesn't even get into the Jared thing. He just blocked that. So, I mean, I give him credit for that. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to block this guy and not even deal with it at all. That is a good move by Jeff, if we're going to be honest about him and all media dealings.
I have to say, I did wonder. You know, I tweeted about Jeffrey Simmons yesterday, and I did wonder if by the end of the day I was going to end up blocked. But I didn't.
Did not give up? You're not blocked?
Okay. Still going.
All right.
No, the only Titan in history that I know of that has blocked me is Deion Lewis. He's the only one.
He was the all-time greatest
and
blocker.
And he's blocked everyone.
Twitter blocker in history.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Titans fan out there, go try to find Deion Lewis's Twitter. I mean, there's a 40% chance he's blocked you.
And it was like the only – I mean, it was just because, like, Derrick Henry got good and all of a sudden, like, he became a backup. People asked him about
that's
it, I guess.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't recall ever uttering a sentence. I mean, we weren't on the radio at that time. I don't recall ever mentioning Deion Lewis by name, but ended up blocked.
Yeah, I think he basically was just like, anybody who is Nashville media, I don't want to see anything. Don't, you know.
Which, again, some people do that. Like, I've had hockey players before that have blocked me on Twitter. And I'll just come up to him one day and I say, hey, what's up with that? He's like, dude, it's nothing personal. I just don't like seeing stuff. I don't like seeing stuff about our team. I don't like seeing stuff about me. That's fine. Like,
yeah, I get that.
I can respect that. Like, that's totally fine. So, you know, we've had a lot of people today suggesting that Jeffrey Simmons should get off social media. I mean, I agree in theory, but like as PK said, that's hard to do. Regardless of if he gets off of it or not, there's got to be a way to really laser focus in on not letting things bother you as much as it clearly has. I don't know how you do that. Like, I don't know if you need to talk to somebody about it. I don't know if it's just something that you learn naturally over time. Maybe this is something that helps him get there. I don't know, but clearly something's got to change.
Yeah, here's the thing, too, is this is where, like, the NFLPA wants media out of the locker rooms. This is a great example of why it's a terrible idea. And you know, let's take Kevin Byard, for example. I mean, you know, if you take advantage of that on the other side, obviously we, being the media, want to go in there and talk to him and get quotes, and we're trying to do stories, we're trying to find things out and stuff, right? But it really should be a benefit for them too.
Yeah.
And what it is if you have that two-way street, then things like this probably won't happen because you can actually have a conversation with somebody, which is what's weird too because, I don't know, I mean, Jeff's always been fine in the locker room. He's been available and he's talked to people. It's just there's such a weird disconnect with him perceiving things the way he does. But, like, it should be – this should benefit you to be in these two-way streets of conversations so that, yeah, sometimes you do have a – you do get mad. I mean, Carsey's been yelled at in that locker room before. And you know what? He stands up and they talk it out, and usually it ends up okay. Wesley Woodyard got super mad at him. But, you know, they were fine after that. That's how it should be. And that's how hopefully this turns out. But I think I do think an important step is for him to just address it today, deal with it, move on, and end it. Because it doesn't need to be this thing that lingers. I mean, you know, you can hope that it just, like, goes away. But if it's not addressed, I don't think it goes away like you want it to.
I would agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans practice is underway. We're out here live at Titans training camp, day number two of the Titans in pads today. So, I mean, Joe, we'll see if there's scuffle out there today. I would hope that there's not after yesterday, but we'll see what
happens.
It's
hot out there.
It is hot. We'll more on the Titans coming up next. We'll also get some of Joe's thoughts after spending yesterday with Nico and the Vols. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We are live out at Titans training camp, day number two of the Titans in pads. Joe, some quick news. TD putting this out there. No sign of Chidobe Awuzie. No surprise there. Yep. Jamal Adams and Legarius Sneed for the Titans in stretch. Looks like everybody else is out there.
And, yeah, Woozie definitely wasn't supposed to be back this week. But, yeah, I would assume Sneed and Adams are maintenance. Interesting, kind of didn't really talk about the maintenance plan for Adams at the beginning, but obviously that's the case now. I think, because they have talked about it since, so I assume it's not like an injury. It's part of the plan. So,
yeah.
A little juice away from some of the drills out here.
I mean, I need him to be out there for the Seahawks joint practice. That's with Jamal Adams, really the main thing I care about. Get out there for the joint practice, and then, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Yep, that could be fun.
Could be fun. We'll keep you updated on what's going on with the Titans out here in day number 2 in pads. By the way, Jason Big Joe will be out here as well, live from Titans training camp. Sticking your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, you spent yesterday in Knoxville with Nico and the Vols. What did you learn from Tennessee? And Vols Media Day yesterday, as their fall camp begins today.
Yeah, Nico was good. Nico was good. 21 minutes of Nico. And, of course, Sparkles and I, we may have not been the only ones, but I know Sparkles and I were there with him the whole time. All the other players, nope, just stay with Nico. But, no, he's good. He's continues to put on weight, so he's up to, I think, 215, wants to get to 220. Seems ready for the task at hand. Had a great story about, I got to ask for his autograph. This is something I've run into with my own kids, Robbie. You know, Jack, as I just said this week, turned 20, and like as he's like leaving home, it's like, hey, you know, here's a paycheck. Like first time he got like a paycheck from his job, so you got to sign it. Like,
yeah.
I don't have a signature. Like what? Kids don't learn cursive. Did you learn cursive in school?
I learned cursive in third grade.
Well, so did I.
Yeah.
Well, so Nico got asked for an autograph, but he was like 17. He's like, he just printed Nico. Printed out.
Here it is.
Here you go. A little picture. He put number 8 and he gave it to him. And he's like, crap, I guess I better learn how to sign my name. So now, of course, he's probably signed about a million of those things. And so he's ready to go. But, you know, he got autographs as a kid from Bryce Young. I mean, you know, they're not that much older than him. But, they're, you know, he was like 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, D.J. Uiagalelei. And, of course, the Cali quarterbacks, 5-star quarterbacks who he's idolized, and now it's his turn to sort of see which is he going to be more like. Is he going to be more like Young and Stroud?
Yep.
Top 2 picks of the draft. More like Uiagalelei, who, by the way, I think is going to play at Florida State this year. Good enough to be a good college player, but not what people were hoping for. I mean, the more likely scenario is that you don't end up the number 1 or number 2 pick in the draft, but the hopes are absolutely off the charts for Nico, and I can't wait to see it play out on the field.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, he talked about a lot of different things yesterday, their receiving core and just the opportunity that they've got in front of them. Like they're feeling pretty good about where they're at, and we'll see how that goes. Like I didn't think Heupel said anything overly groundbreaking in his
Which is so rare for him.
He tried to say, yeah, I think, as little as humanly possible yesterday heading into fall camp.
Yeah.
Even I, who enjoys watching his press conference every week, I was like, oh, God, man, come on.
Yeah, he's in midseason form and not telling you anything. But Joey Halsley is a bit of a, you know, he's a quote.
Yep.
And he's talking about how scary it's going to be. He's talking about, yeah, it's going to be, you know, got to get him through 17 games of, you know, and I'm like, 17 games? Okay, so that's – that's a SEC title game, and that's 4 playoff games that Joey Halsley is planning for with Nico this year. So.
I like the confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. But and by the way, someone who was scheduled to speak who did not speak, James Pierce, did not show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He the 2 stars, you know, Nico and then the defensive star, he likes media stuff about as much as I'm trying to think.
Like, Jeffrey Simmons liked what?
I was going to say. There you go. I was trying to make a Stilly joke. Like Stilly likes, you know, I don't know. But, yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think Jeff and Buck are friends now, though.
I think there may have been some repair work that took place today. I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out
after the show. Got to go track down Buck and Jeff.
Got to go see what's going on out there. Things you're keeping an eye on today in day number 2 of practice for the Titans and pads.
I mean, it's so much about when they get in the team. Can they protect? Look, right now, again, no MPF, no Nicholas Petit-Frere, and it's come to this point where it's like, you know, Nick, come save the day. This is not where you want to be, but that is where they are at right tackle right now. So can they make any progress there at all in terms of protection, in terms of – and can the offense in general figure some things out against this defense? I mean, clearly – and whenever Brian Callahan talks about it, he's talking about like the creativity of the blitzes and the difficulty that Denard Wilson is presenting for them. But that's also then, okay, so you've got to figure it out. Another guy, a lot of talk about a guy. I know TD must be working on something because he's asked a lot of questions, but there's been a lot of – you notice him out there, and there was more talk about him today. I thought it was a pretty cool quote from Denard Wells. You know, talking about the green dot, well, we want him to have the green light. But Kenneth Murray is emerging not just as a little bit of a traffic cop pre-snap too, on top of obviously trying to be a wrecker, trying to go downhill. So, you know, does that continue? I think he is one of the early positive stories in camp. Not enough positive stuff out here for the media, yeah. Robbie. Trying to be positive.
Yeah. I think you're having a negative influence on Titans practice. I mean, Nick, your boy NWI is in front of you right now, and
He just dropped one.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, he was trying to make a one-handed catch, but yeah. So it's, a drop is probably a little bit too harsh, but. Whenever Rex shows it, he's probably like, oh, God, that guy's back that I wanted to get a restraining order against a couple years ago.
Maybe he's just trying to let the other guys have a chance, you know, feel better if he makes a mistake because ultimately they know they're going to have to tip the cap and get out of the way for NWI.
Same old thing year after year, an annual tradition, NWI going to be a big factor in the offense. Yeah, I mean, it would be great to see the offense have a day today, make some plays out there. Be able to hold up blocking, you know, well enough. I don't think anybody expects the right side of the line to be some dominant force out there, but hold up well enough where you can move the football, get some – like they need – I think the offense as a whole, but certainly the line, right, after everything that went on last year, and I know it's basically entirely new people now, but, like, I think it's important for them in camp to build up some level of confidence
at
the end of the year, right? Like, you got to have some.
Well, absolutely. And, look – today is also going to be interesting in terms of – because I know Cushenberry and Simmons were kind of central in some of the scuffling yesterday and things like that. The interior of the line is going to be dealing with – you know, they're going to be dealing with Jeff and they're going to be dealing with Tavondre Sweat in there. So it's a heck of a look for guys like Cushenberry and Skoronski, you know. But also it's a – you know, are there going to be more flare-ups today? Like how contentious does it get? You want the good work. You want intensity. If you're Brian Callahan, you also, you know, you want people to get hurt.
Yeah.
And that's something that can happen there. And then if something does happen, what's his response?
What's the response, you think, if he kicks somebody out of practice today for fighting and then kick out Simmons yesterday?
Yeah. And that's the obvious thing, right? It's the obvious, oh, okay, so we get the double standard for the star. You know, you don't want that. I get the very first day of pads – right away, and it's like, man, it's such a lost day of work if 98 goes in. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I get it. But, yeah, that is where the problem comes in, and that is kind of like why it's probably good to have a policy that everybody understands out front. Maybe his policy is like, I'm not going to kick you out, and I'm not going to kick any of you out. And okay, well, then that's fine too, I guess. I mean, but it does seem like the kick-out policy is smart just because that's the game consequence for these guys.
Well, and like even if you didn't kick out Simmons yesterday, like making it clear today heading into practice, like, hey guys, if you do this, you're gone. Like, just know that if there's punches being thrown and you're getting 15 yard penalty flags thrown at you and you'd be ejected in the game, you're not going to be in practice today. I don't care if I didn't kick anybody out. Like, if you knew that, if you're a player heading into this, then that would be okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, When the joint practices happen, there's always stuff.
Yeah.
But those teams, that's part of why the work's good. It is also it can be risky, but you're not charged with taking care of the guys on the other team. These guys are still supposed to be taking care of each other.
That's right.
Brutal enough game.
Eventful day here at Titans camp. Glad we were here for it. Jason Big Joe, we'll have you covered as well. Coming up
next. Interesting.
Take your thoughts.
Go scream at somebody right next to
all day long. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.